You need a touch in your mind this morning. Your family need a touch. Why don't you just lift your hands right now? Say, God, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. I need my touch this morning. Reach out to Him right now in the name of the Lord. God, I got to have my touch. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. God, we lift You up in this house. And we declare Your glory. We declare the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We declare Your glory, the only God that robed Himself and manifested Himself in flesh. We glorify Him. You know why? I feel Him in here right now. That's why we glorify Him. We don't have a God that lives in the distance. We have a God that mingles with us when we get together. He said, if two or three be gathered together in My name, I will be right in the midst of them. And I don't know about you, but I feel God in the midst. And when God is in the midst, anything can happen. You don't have a problem too big for God. You don't have an issue that God can't fix. All you need to do is just let God pour out His Spirit. And one good outpouring of the Holy Ghost can do what nothing else in this world can do. Somebody shout amen. Great to be before you this morning. Been a minute, maybe two, maybe three, but it's good to be before you this morning. And God is going to help me, and God is going to anoint me. Hallelujah. It's great to be here. We got a handful of families that are out and traveling or different places, but I'm glad I'm where I'm at. I'm glad I got health this morning. Amen. I guess who has the classes? Our classes can be dismissed and our teachers can be dismissed. If you're not part of that, we need you in here. Amen. God is good. Amen. If you feel good this morning, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you feel good, God gets the credit. I'd rather feel good than feel bad. Amen. I got a text I want to just read this morning. It's a little lengthy. And this is Paul on one of his journeys. He is a prisoner and he's headed to meet Caesar. And of course, they encounter a storm. You know the story, Acts chapter 27. Amen. If you don't know the story and you are faithful to your Bible reading, well, then sometime probably in, I don't know, September, you are to stumble across the story. You stay with your reading. Acts 27, are you there? Thank you, praise team, for the worship. Amen. Aren't you glad we got good worship? Every church don't have good worship. Amen. Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast, this is the men that's on the ship, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Oh, I'm glad I ain't got to just wish how my day is going. I'm glad that the Lord orders my steps. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though that they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said, and you got to remember, Paul's a prisoner. Paul said, the centurions and to the soldiers, he says, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while they were coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This is the 14th day that you have tarried and continue fasting, and you have taken nothing." Verse 34, "Wherefore I pray that you take meat, for this is for your health. And there shall not a..." Now this is what he says. "And there shall not a hair fall from your head, any of you." And when they had thus spoken, he took bread, he gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And when they were all of good cheer, he also took some meat. And they that were in the ship were 66. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, and they cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, and which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and they loosed the rudder bands and hoised up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And falling into a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmoved, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the wave. And the soldiers counseled was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from the purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first to the sea and get to the land, and the rest, some on boards, and some on broken pieces of ship. And you got to get there however you can get there. You got to find you an old piece of floating wood and grab it and hang on. And so it came to pass, as they escaped, all, everybody say all, safe to the land. And just for a few minutes, I pray that you pray my strength in the Lord. I want to preach to you on the anchor holds. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice to Him? Lift your hands to Him. God, we love You. I'm glad we have an anchor in this house. Oh, I'm glad I've got an anchor in my life. God, we give You praise and glory for Your presence. You're so wonderful to us. Clap your hands to Him one more time. Amen. So great to see everybody this morning. God bless you. Everybody say storms. 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 We all face storms. Everybody in here faces some type of storms in your life. There are physical storms, of course, that are storms that a lot of times we can't control. Things like earthquakes and floods and tornadoes and different types of storms. But then there are personal storms. There's financial storms that hit our life. There's seasons where your kids just go crazy. And you don't even know what you've done. Probably didn't do nothing. Probably hormones or something, you know. And they just kind of go crazy and they lose themselves. You married folks that have young kids, you don't know that yet. You'll see that at some point. You'll walk in and go, "Who's in the kitchen? I don't know that person." And then there are storms that hit our body, sometimes physical storms that we have to deal with in our health. And there are certain storms like that. And then, of course, we go through seasons that are storms when we lose people that we love. It's impossible if you have a heart that loves somebody, if that individual passes away, It can cast you into a state of depression or something to that nature. But storms are just a part of life, and you can't get away from them. Doesn't matter which direction you turn the boat in the ocean, at some point you're going to encounter a storm. The real question is, how do you respond in the storm? The real question is, what is my response going to be like in the storm? The scripture tells us that in the text that I read, that the morning that Paul faced a myriad of storms, and I didn't read the whole chapter, but the entire chapter tells us about several storms that these men had encountered. Now you have to consider with me that Paul is on his way to Rome. He's going to stand before Caesar. He's going to stand before the king, and he's on his way to stand trial before the Roman government. But God has a purpose for Paul. And so for 14 days, this boat they were in the midst of these raging seas. But in the process of the storm, Paul, he never panicked. You know, a lot of people panic when storms arise in their life. But you can read the text that I just read, and you can see that the men that were on the boat were concerned, and they were panicked, and they were frightful. But Paul was able to stand firm in the midst of the storm because Paul had an anchor in his life. And if you've got an anchor in your life, you can stand in the midst of the storms of life, and you don't have to fall apart and panic and become fretful and wonder and scratch your head and wring your hands and just wonder how you're going to get through it or how you're going to make it. Paul was standing on a sure foundation. And the sailors were in the storm, and it seemed that they were being overwhelmed in an effort to save their life. The Bible says the sailors cast out four anchors, and these anchors were no match for the storm. They were large anchors, but this was a big vessel. And the storm was raging, and the Bible says that it was ultimately lost. But what's amazing is that on that ship there was a man by the name of Paul. And because Paul was on that ship, and God had a destiny for Paul. Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. He had a destiny, a purpose, and a plan. And he was a child of God. And he wasn't just a child of God. And let me just say this. If you're a child of God, you're a special individual. You're not like everybody else. You're special. You're cut apart. You're sanctified and set apart for God's use. And Paul was a man that was on a mission, and he was a man of faith. And not only that, he had the ability to hear the voice of God. And there is nothing more important in this hour than for you to be able to hear the voice of God. We got to be able to hear what God says. We just can't make decisions aimlessly and wonder and pray it works out after we got to know what God wants us to do. Somebody say amen. And the ship was not anchored, and it was being tossed in the storm, but Paul was anchored. Even though he was on a ship that was out of control, Paul was still in control. Even though the wind was boisterous and the seas were raging, there was a foundation that Paul was standing on. The Bible calls it a sure foundation. I'm headed somewhere. Just stay with me. And the Bible says that these men threw out these four anchors in an effort to steady the ship, but it did not help. And when you look at the text this morning, it looks to me, when I look through the text, that Paul had some anchors in his life that he went to that steadied him in the time of trouble. And I can just tell you, you better have something that you go to. Matter of fact, you're going to go to what you're familiar to. when trouble hits and stress hits and anxiety hits, if your solution is to reach for a bottle, that'll be your anchor, but that anchor won't hold. If your solution is to reach for some drug, well, that can be your anchor, but that anchor, that's a man-made anchor. That anchor won't hold. Paul had some principles that he lived by that was able to steady him and strengthen him through the storms of life. And even though the storm raged and the boat was battered, Paul was able to stand because he had anchors in his life. Anchors that would hold him in troubled times. Anchors that would hold him when things wasn't going right. Anchors that would hold him when it felt like the world was against him. Anchors that would hold him when he had no answers and a lot of questions. You ever been there where you just didn't have an answer, but I got an anchor? I may not know what direction to go, but I got an anchor that I'm going to hold on to. And Paul had an anchor in that boat. And I will submit to this congregation that in a world that is continuing to sink and spiral out of control, we better have an anchor that we can hang on to. You better have something that can steady your lives, that when trouble hits and perplexing times hit, you can go to it and grab hold of it and say, you know what David said when I'm overwhelmed? He said, there's a rock, lead me to the rock, which is higher than I am. I've been like David before, where I was overwhelmed with life and I didn't know what to do, but I know who to go to. And I know the one that I go to has the answers. If I'll just trust Him. In a world that is shifting and turning, full of strong delusion. You know why there's so much delusion? Nobody loves truth anymore. And Jesus said, writing in the New Testament, that if you have not a love for truth, He said, I'll send a strong delusion. And we have men and women in our world. Our country is deluded. But I'm glad I know the truth of who God is this morning. I'm glad I know who the anchor is. The writer of Hebrews said that which hope we have, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which remaineth within the veil. Can I tell you, He's been my anchor for 25 years, and He hadn't failed me yet. There ain't never been a time I hadn't grabbed on to Him when I didn't know what to do. He never let me down. He's never lied to me. He's never hurt me, reject me, or misled me. I'm telling you, I got an anchor that'll carry me through any storm and any problem and any trial. His name is Jesus. I'm thankful my anchor's not in this world. You don't want to fight these battles with a man-made anchor. You want to fight these problems and demons with a man-made anchor. What's that demon going to think when he looks at your little man-made anchor? You better have something from another world. Can I get a witness from somebody? And His name is Jesus. I'm glad I'm standing on a sure foundation this morning. I'm glad God's the anchor in my life. Paul had four notable anchors in the story that I can see. Verse 23, if you've got it, Brother Duran. His first anchor of verse 23. His first anchor was the presence of God. On that ship in that storm, verse 23 says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. In the middle of all of that storm, Paul had an angel show up. And he said, for there stood by me this night. I don't know if an angel shows up at your bedside. That's going to give you some confidence. Paul's first anchor was he had the presence of God. Paul found himself in the midst of a raging storm, but he was not alone. He had God with him. He had an angel of the Lord that was with him, that calmed his spirit and lifted his face, his faith. Psalm 16:11, in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I have a question for you this morning. Are you thankful for the presence of God? Are you thankful that you've got the presence of God in your life? That'll be with you when times of fear show up. But the presence of God can turn that fear into faith. In the presence of trouble, when the presence of God can turn trouble into triumph. There's an anchor that still holds and it will steady your life through the storms of life. And there is nothing more important than being in the presence of God. If you don't know what to do, you find yourself a little corner in your house and you etch out you some time and you open up your Bible and you begin to talk to God and you will feel the presence of God, the tangible, manifested presence. I know God is omnipresent. I know God is everywhere, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the presence of God I can feel when I know He's not just omnipresent around the world, but God is manifested with me in my house, in my prayer closet. There's nothing greater than the presence of God, and Paul had the presence of God on that boat. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is Samson woke up. And the scripture says he knew not that the presence of God had departed from him. God had had enough. And he withdrew himself. David, when he had turned his heart away from God and he was on his trek back in Psalms 51:11, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence." David knew I need the presence of God in my life. He said, "Cast me not away, nor take nor withhold your spirit from me." We can't underestimate the presence of God. That's why every time we get to the house of God, you are to be worshiping. You are to be clapping. You are to be thankful that you can feel God. You shouldn't clap after you feel God. You should clap before you feel God. You shouldn't sit in here and wait for them to get to the favorite song and then all of a sudden, then I'm going to worship. You ought to be worshiping on the first note. Come on, somebody. You are to never be comfortable in the presence of God. We should always be thankful. Sundays is about coming to worship God and thanking God for His presence. And I have made my mind up. I'm going to be a worshiper when I get to the house of God. Nobody's going to out worship me. Nobody's going to out clap me. I got an anchor I'm holding on to. And it's carrying me through life. And it's carrying me through the storm. And it's carrying me through trials. And I'm going to worship God because He's been wonderful to me. Why don't you clap your hands? And the scripture says, after the angel came, which was representative of the presence of God, the next thing Paul says to the men that were afraid, and this is in verse 25. He says, "I still believe God." That don't sound like much, but that's a very powerful statement. Because there's people up under the sound of my voice that have come through storms. And it's one thing to go into it, but then when you come out of it, say, "Hey, I still believe God." Maybe you were praying for healing and healing didn't come, and you come through the other side and you say, "You know what? I still believe God. You know, I was praying for my prodigals to come home and for some reason they hadn't come home, but you know what? I still believe God." There has to be something in you like Paul that when the raging seas are roaring and the boat is battered and it feels like life is falling apart, you have to look at the crumbling pieces and say, "You know what? I still believe God. No matter what it looks like, I still believe God. No matter what people think, I still believe God. No matter if there's sickness in my body, I still believe God. No matter if there's family problems and the ship is battered and I don't know what to do, I still believe God. The trial didn't take my faith. The storm didn't take my faith. I still believe God. And if I prayed for healing and it didn't come, God's still a healer. I prayed for restoration and it didn't come, God's still a restorer. I prayed for prodigals and they didn't show up, He's still able to save unto the uttermost. It don't change God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe God. Woo! I wish you'd clap your hands and shout, I still believe. See, if you got to see it before you believe, that ain't faith. You got to look at the winds and the seas and the ship. And you got to look around and say, oh boy, you know what? There's a lot of people that would panic, but I can't lose the fact. I've got an anchor. I got something holding me. I'm standing on a sure foundation, and I still believe God is in control of my life. Paul had the presence of God with him. He had an anchor. This is what was holding him through the storm. He also had the promise of God. Verse 24 and 25. You think you got that, bud? Back there, Brother Duran. There we go. Saying, fear not. This is his promise. Paul, you're going to be brought before Caesar. And lo, God, watch this, hath given them all that sail with thee. Paul, listen. Not only are you going to see Caesar, every man and woman on that ship is going to be spared. We're not losing one. I like that kind of math, don't you? We're not losing anybody. Everybody's going to be saved. Everybody on the boat. We're coming through this together. And in the midst of this long, devastating storm, God gave Paul a promise. God reminded the apostle, Paul, you'll make it to stand before Caesar. And all those on the boat, they will be spared as well. And Paul, he knew that God kept his promises. God don't lie. If God says it, you can count on it. Paul, you're on the boat and the boat is battered. And the boat is beaten. Looks like you're going down. Matter of fact, everybody that's on a different boat would say, they're in trouble. Don't look too good. They look pretty beat up. But the Bible says that I've given you a promise, Paul. And when God gives you a promise, it's bigger than the problem. And he looked at Paul and he said, Paul, don't you worry. You've got an appointment with Caesar. And there's not a storm in the ocean that can break this vessel and hold you back. There's not a boisterous wind or a wave in the sea that will cancel out this appointment. Because I've got this appointment on my planner. I've got it on my date planner. Somebody say amen. Paul, you're going in the storm. You're going through the storm. And you're going to come out of the storm. Can I preach to this congregation that I'm in the midst of my own personal storm? And there's probably people looking around at my boat saying, boy, the boat sure does look beaten. And the boat sure does look like it might go down. Well, before you pass all them judgments and get that in your mind, let me go ahead and tell you this. Like God told Paul, I got a word from the Lord. I know what the Lord has said. And I know what the Lord has told me. He told me to you go ahead and just sit back and relax and enjoy the ride and enjoy the storm. Just as you went in the storm, you're going to go through the storm. And just as you're going to go through the storm, you're going to come out of the storm. I wish I had some help in here right now. You're coming in, you're going through, and you're going out. The boat may look beaten, and the ship may look battered, but I got an anchor that is holding me through the storm. I got an anchor that's going to see me through. I got an anchor that's already told me everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to work out. Everything is going to be restored. Everything is going to be given back. Somebody shout amen. Just as I have my hand on the boat, I got my hand on Paul. Just as I got my hand on the vessel, he's got his hand on me. Just as God's got his hand on this situation in your life, he's got his hand on you as well. That's why you are to give him praise in the storm. Don't sit around. Give him praise. Give him praise. He told Noah in the storm. He said, Noah, here's a sign. He said, I'll never flood the earth again. He said, I'll set my bow. He said, I'll set my bow in the sky. And you'll remember that when the rain comes and the winds blow, it'll never overtake you again, because at some point you're going to see the rainbow. I'm telling you, it won't be long and God's going to cast a long rainbow over this church. The storm will never pass again. Romans chapter 4, 21, and being fully persuaded that he was able to bring his promises to pass. It's what you got to do. When the storms of life come and they rage, you got to make sure that you don't get upset in the storm and start talking yourself out of the blessings of God. Because you know what happens when storms come, it's easy to get negative. And it's easy to start talking negative. And you'll go, oh, I don't know. He said this boat would make it, but I'm not no boat maker, but it looks like we're in trouble, Brother Wilson. And you'll start preaching doubt to yourself. Remember, Peter didn't walk on the water. Peter walked on the Word. He had a word from God. God said, come. And as long as he walked on what God said, he could walk on the water. But when he took his eyes off what God said, and he was looking at the storm and the waves, it began to overwhelm him and he began to sink. All we got to do is keep our eyes on what God has said. All we got to do is walk on the promises of God. Paul, you're going to see Caesar, and there ain't a storm big enough in the world to stop it. They could break this boat into splinters. You're going to stand before the Roman government. Let me tell you, folks, if God's given you a promise, you can hang on to it. For he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. Somebody say amen. Paul walked on the promises. God, 2 Peter writing, said that God is not slack concerning his promises. He's not slack. God said it, it's coming to pass. Can't tell you how many times I've got discouraged. I know none of you have ever got discouraged. So y'all probably couldn't relate to this. There's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And I go through there and start cherry picking. Yeah, that's for me. That one's mine. That's me right there. For the promises of God are yes and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. The third anchor that Paul had was that God had a plan for his life. He said, fear not. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. That's verse 24. In other words, don't start panicking like everybody else. I got a plan for your life, Paul, and nothing shall hinder my plan. Nothing will stop what I'm going to do for you. the angel that ministered to Paul, that told Paul God's plan that he would get to Caesar and spare everybody on the ship. Verse 42. Do you have verse 42 of that chapter? Thank you, sir. And the soldiers, this is when the storm was at its height. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Isn't that something? You know, when things get bad, people turn on each other. It's terrible we're like that, ain't it? It's horrible people we are. Verse 42 says, and the soldiers, they counseled one with another. We should just kill these prisoners. But the only reason you're going to make it to see life and not death is because one of them prisoners is God's man. You kill him, all bets are off. Actually, you can't kill him because he's headed to see Caesar. They don't realize the value. You know, sometimes we fall prey to that. We look at somebody and we think they're, you know, like a guard could look at a prisoner and look down at that individual. And we look at people and we look down and we prejudge them when you never know what God is doing in their life. You don't ever look over at somebody and judge that individual for what you think their life is. You don't know their story. You don't know what they've been through. And they begin to attack one another. Storm is brewing. It's getting messy. People turn on each other when it gets messy. And this is what they did. They said, you know what? They said, well, we're going to have to do something with this. And we've got to kill some of these soldiers. And, you know, in life, when things start getting a little messy, people turn on each other. You know, it hurts our flesh or gets in our feelings or we get offended about something. None of y'all have ever had that problem, had you? You get disappointed. You get frustrated. And you got this stuff that you have to live with. I know you got this spirit that just, oh, you got this beautiful spirit, loves God. I know that. Just wants to worship all the time. And you got a soul, which is the person that you are. Then you got this body, this flesh. You know what that flesh wants to do? It wants to retaliate. And don't want nobody talking about it now. It should be talking about me. I got the Holy Ghost, but you still got this old flesh. You want to retaliate. You want to get back. You want to set them straight. You know, I've had a lot of times I wanted to maybe say something to somebody that did something, and I go home and just kind of stew on it. Think about it and pray about it. And you know what? After a couple of days, I say, I think I'll just keep my mouth shut. Sometimes after you cool down, God will give you a little better perspective. And you know what? There's a lesson in there that I need to learn. And there's something that God trying to show me, even if it's their fault, my fault, it don't matter whose fault it is. There's something God's trying to get me to grow into and grow out of. And he's trying to help me become a more mature person. And instead of giving them a piece of my mind, just why don't you take their name to the Lord in prayer. Instead of turning on each other. It's amazing that they wanted to kill everybody. You know what God wanted to do? God wanted to save everybody. What's amazing how different God is in his thinking. Well, let's kill them all. God said, let's save them all. Paul was hanging on to the anchor. He had a plan for his life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. The soldiers had a plan to kill the prisoners. God had a plan to save them. Aren't you thankful for God's plan? Aren't you thankful that God had a plan for you? That he had a plan for me. We could be here together. God didn't save you because you were good enough. He didn't save me because I'm good enough. He saves us for a plan to work in his kingdom. Paul knew that God had a plan even though he was in the midst of the storm. He knew he had some anchors. He had the presence of God. He had the promises of God. And he had the plan of God for his life. He was a prisoner in shackles in chains. But God had a purpose for him. We can't never look at people that may come out of broken situations, that may be hurt or wounded, maybe that are carrying spiritual shackles out of spiritual prisons, and thank God don't have a plan for them. God's got a plan for everybody. And sometimes the one that you give up on and you think God would never use, God will etch a plan out of that life that'll blow your mind. Just because you've been hurt, it don't mean that there's not a purpose. Just because you've walked in some form of addiction or maybe been mistreated, God always and still has a purpose for everybody. You don't have to be perfect to walk in God's kingdom. He never requires perfection. You don't have to be perfect to live for God and to have a relationship with God. We have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Jesus Christ. And if you make a mistake, you go to Him and you talk to Him about it. And the Scripture says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the fourth anchor that Paul had was his anchor was the church. And after they had thrown all the cargo overboard to try to stay afloat when they had done everything, musicians, you can come, it still was not enough. But God, after 14 days of being in the basement of the ship, praying and fasting for those men, the Apostle Paul came to the bow of the ship. And he said, hey, I've got an announcement, verse 31, if you have it, Duran. Unless these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Unless you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. You've got to have a ship. You've got to have a church. You've got to have a community of people. Oh, you're just saying that so everybody will come. No, that's just what God said. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as you see the day more approaching. You know why? Because as that day more approaches, you're going to need your brothers, and you're going to need your sisters, and you're going to need your church family, and you're going to need people that believe like you, think like you, have a plan like you, and have a purpose like you. You're going to need people that are hanging on to the same anchor, saying, hey, we're going to get out of here. We're going to make it through this. Come on, we got to hang on. Waves and the winds that crashed upon that boat, it beat upon it and it beat upon it. But Paul was rooted in a community of people, of men and women. They grabbed boards as the ship began to break. They grabbed boards and broken pieces of the ship. And the Bible says, every one of them were saved because they listened to what Paul said. Paul had an angel come stand with him that night. And he said, Paul, I'm with you. And we're not losing one off this ship. Every one of them will be saved. And some had to find a splinter floating in the ocean so that they could paddle their way to the shore. But when the head count was given, Brother Banks, everybody was there. Not one person was lost. There is a great benefit to listening to the instructions of God. If you'll follow the instructions of this book, it'll steer your life to a place of safety on the shore. It'll take you to a place where in the midst of the raging seas, you'll be okay. These cannot be saved unless they abide in the ship. I can't tell you how many times abiding in the ship has been a blessing to me. I can preach to you this morning that there's been times I've walked in the door on a Sunday or maybe a Wednesday, and maybe my spirit may have been a little down, but just getting in the ship and seeing everybody here mingling together, you can stand, brought faith and strength back to my life. These cannot be saved unless they abide in the ship. And I know we've seen people that have left the church and they go on about their business. And they go out there and they just do whatever and live their life. And a lot of times they're doing well. It don't mean you won't prosper in life if you don't. You know, I've heard people say, God, you know, God's going to get them. They walk out the door, God's going to get them. A lot of times God don't get them. A lot of times He just lets them go. And you know what happened? Here's what happens. You learn to live without God. You get up every Sunday and you don't go to church, and guess what happens? You learn how to just live life without Him. And God will let you learn how to live without Him, because He wants to be desired by somebody that wants Him, somebody that's passionate about Him. And I've seen people that have left and they just went on about their business, turned their Sunday into another Saturday, and just lived life, and they're doing pretty well. But I can tell you this, they won't be saved unless they abide in the ship. There's only one way to be saved. You got to get in the church. You have to anchor yourself to the church. You have to anchor yourself to a community of people. And you have to, when the storms of life come, you know what will happen? You'll make it if you're in here. You'll make it with your family, your brothers and your sisters, all over this house. Why don't we let's lift our hands to the Lord. God, I love You this morning. I'm so thankful for Your presence, Your promise, plan of God on our lives. And I'm thankful that we're in the house of God this morning. I have storm-proofed my life so that when the rage and winds come and the boat is battered, I'm not hanging on to the boat. I'm hanging on to an anchor. And I come to declare to this congregation, the anchor still holds. Are you holding on to your anchor this morning? Are you holding on to the anchor called Jesus Christ? I'm preaching to some people this morning. Maybe if you were to be honest, maybe you need to get a little better grip on the anchor. Maybe you need to adjust your grip. Maybe it's starting to slip just a little bit. Maybe you need to back up and wipe your hands and get a fresh grip on the anchor. Why don't you step out this morning and talk to Him all over this church? Why don't you step out of your pew and gather around and let's worship Him for just a minute and thank God that we have everything that we need that'll hold us in the storms of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody got an anchor? Come on, worship Him this morning. If He's ever held you through a season, glorify Him and love Him this morning all over this house.